The book of Genesis chapter 19 and the book of 1 Peter or 2 Peter chapter 2. The book of 1 Peter or 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2 and Genesis chapter 13 and Genesis chapter 19. But actually, let's just go to Genesis chapter 13. And here's what I'm trying to say. Boy, I want you to go to Genesis 13, but you're going to need to be at Genesis 19. That's what I meant to say. It didn't come out very good. I hope the rest of the message goes better than that. Amen. Don't forget Caleb's graduation and Jonah's graduation, everybody's graduation Friday night. They're going to have a hog. They're going to cook it even. Amen. And they're going to cook hog the other night, Friday night. And so I'm looking forward to that. And then the kindergarten graduation a week from next Friday night on the 15th. So you're in chapter 13, and then you also, what I want you to do is get 2 Peter chapter 2 and get those three references. I apologize for being so hard to understand or confusing. I don't mean to be that God is not the author of confusion, so that came out of me. Amen? Yeah. So here we go. I want to preach tonight a message that I want to tell you. First of all, let's just read the text. It's Genesis chapter 13 and verse number 12. Everybody there say amen.
Amen.
But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And I'm going to get that one there. Verse number 12. Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan. I'm in Genesis 13. If you have a King James Bible, maybe I should put my glasses on, you reckon? Let's start all over again. That's what happens when you're alive, amen? You have to just lose all your self, you have to lose all your pride, because I'm telling you what, it'll show you. Yeah, that's good for us once in a while anyway. But we're at Genesis 13, and we're going to read two verses, verse 12 and 13. But you need to have Genesis 19 where you're ready to go. And you need to have 1 Peter chapter 2. Did I say something wrong? Genesis 19, and I mean it. Okay? Am I still saying something wrong? I am okay. All right. All right. So here we go.
That pig going to be roasted on Genesis 13
or 19? I don't know. Boy, Lord, help us. Amen. Help us. Whew. Verse number 12. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain. And I want you to notice what it said here. And I want to preach on this subject tonight. And pitched his tent toward Sodom. Pitched his tent toward Sodom. And if we're in chapter 2 Peter chapter 2, the Bible hardly ever says anything more about Lot personally from that point on. It does say quite a bit about Sodom. The cities of Sodom, it hardly ever mentions Lot after chapter 19, which we'll be in pretty soon. I'm going to read this text of Scripture, and then I'm going to talk to you a little bit, and then we're going to preach. Verse 2 Peter chapter 2, and we're going to look at verse number 6. And the Bible says, turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into, what's it say?
Ashes.
Ashes. Now, folks, I want you to think about that. That city, no doubt, was built mostly of stone. You go in the Middle East, and I've been there three times over in Israel, and almost everything's built with stone. You'll have some wood, but most everything is built with stone or plaster or combination thereof. God said he turned that city into ashes. I'm talking about extreme, almost what you'd call nuclear heat hit that town. The Bible tells us what it was. This fire and brimstone out of heaven came down on that city. God said he turned that city into ashes. Can you imagine what happened to those people's lives? Atomic nuclear reactions were literally, the Bible speaks of it. It talks about while they're still standing on their feet, this is back in the prophets, that their eyes melt in their sockets, and while they're still standing, their flesh melts off of them. That's a nuclear holocaust. I do not know whether there was a nuclear situation involved with this, but I can tell you this, that God had become so angry and so disgusted at what was going on in the city of Sodom that he sent down fire and brimstone in such heat and intensity that he turned the entire city into ashes. I've been where Sodom and Gomorrah used to be. It's down by the south end of the Sea of Galilee there. And there is out, if you drive, literally, we've had tour buses, well, they can take you out in the plains, which is talking about here, of that area, and they can show you black brimstone on the top of the ground. And they will tell you that this is very, as far as they know, very likely some of the brimstone that was left after the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. We're talking about an obliteration. Literally, it turned it into an obliterated, there's nothing there but ashes. And then as the time wore on, just nothing but the barren ground that grows nothing. And laying on top of that is just black looking brimstone. And that you can tell they've been in heat because of the roundness and the smoothness of the stone. There'll be a few rough edges, but a lot of it's like you'll find in a creek or somewhere where the heat has rounded the stones. It says, God turned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes and condemned them with an overflow. And he said, I did that for a reason, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. America should read this verse.
Amen.
I'm telling you, if we don't turn, it's coming. I don't know how, but I'm telling you it's coming. But making them an example, those that should after live ungodly. And here's what it says in verse 7, and delivered just Lot. Now, we read in Genesis 13 where that Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom. And he said, God delivered just Lot. That means to tell you that he was a saved man living in that generation, living in that city. He delivered just Lot, but he says something about Lot that you want to get tonight. And that is that he was vexed. And it's going to tell you twice that Lot was vexed. And I want you to write this down somewhere on a sheet of paper. Write it in your Bible. This is one of the most dangerous, destructive things Satan ever does to a Christian is, and he vexes them. And I'll talk about it. What happened. He delivered just Lot, verse 7, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. God says those people's conversation was filthy. And that Lot became vexed with it. Then it says in verse number 8, for that righteous man dwelling among them, and watch how the vexation happened, in seeing and hearing. It was what he was seeing and it was what he was hearing that vexed, the Bible said, his righteous soul, and watch the phrase here, day to day with their unlawful deeds. Vexed means that you're gradually wore down. Vexed means that you are gradually moved from what you know is right to where you kind of tolerate it, to where you kind of accept it, until finally you approve it. Vexed means that you are wore down in your mind. In the old days, you used to hear a parent once in a while say, my kids are vexing me. And they would be aware of it. And a parent would say, my children are vexing me. What they would say is, my children are wearing me down. They're getting tired of, this vex, just wear you down until finally you give in. You say, I guess go do it. How you doing, neighbor back here? Man, it's good to see you. And you can be vexed. And so one of the most dangerous things that can happen to you as a Christian is to get vexed. You get around it, you see it, you hear it. It gets to where it's not shocking anymore. You see, Americans now aren't shocked by sodomites anymore. It's just part of our culture. It doesn't shock us anymore. And so then it comes and it just keeps working until it's just, I had a man in California, a good friend of mine, sold him lots and lots of cattle. And back in the 90s, early 90s, I would talk to him about what was going on in California. And he said, Reggie, what are we going to do about it? I said, man, I'll tell you what, I understand now what he's saying. We got sodomites all around this area here. And it's like, what can you do about it? If people want to be that, God, it happens, okay? But if we're not careful, and I want you to tell you something, I've pastored this church for 38 years. And I love you people, and I love your families. And if I have a heart, and I truly love you, I will want to do all that I can, not only to keep my family from being vexed, but to keep your families from being vexed. Wore down from the point of what you knew was right, and lived right, until through the generations, all of a sudden you start just letting things go, and now things that you knew at one time were absolutely wrong and horrible, you just kind of accept it and even possibly approve it, and you condemn people who stand against it. Okay? I'm going to tell you something. This is honest truth. In 1984, I've been preaching for 2 years, And I read this passage of scripture, and as I was reading my Bible an awful lot, okay? And I was reading, and I read across that verse 12 where it says, he pitched his tent toward Sodom, and I am not kidding you, the Holy Ghost dealt with me in a very serious, life-changing way. You may not understand that. I'm not going to sit here and try to explain it to you. I'm just going to tell you that reading the Word of God, read that phrase, and it's like the Holy Ghost said, Reggie, I want you to stop, and you and I are going to have a talk today. You are a young father with two children. Ben wasn't born until 85. And you have surrendered to preach, and you're on a journey through life, and you don't know what's out there, and you don't know where this country is headed to, and you don't know a lot of, you don't know nothing, hardly. But Reggie, there's one thing I want to tell you today to not do, and that's not pitch your tent towards Sodom.
Amen.
And from that day forward in my life, I made it an absolute concrete drill in my soul that I would do all I could to keep from pitching my tent, my home, my family, my life toward Sodom. And I want to tell you something. God's honored it.
Amen.
I've not been the perfect dad. We sure don't have the perfect family. But I can tell you something. I could write a book on the blessings of God, of that decision that I made as a father and as a husband, that I am not going to pitch my tent or allow my home and family to be pitched towards Sodom. I'm not doing it. And if it costs me my family, costs me my friends, costs me everything, I am not pitching my tent towards Sodom. Let me tell you what God's really interested in your life tonight about, and that's the direction you're headed.
Amen.
It's not where you're at, it's the direction you're headed. That's the thing you really, really want to consider tonight, and I'm going to ask you to think about this, because at the end of this service, we're going to give an invitation asking people to do some business with God, okay? I'm just telling you straight up. And I want you to let God speak to you tonight about the direction that you're headed and then the effects that it may have upon not just you, but on children that are yet unborn. Because when Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom, as far as we know, he was not married. He did not have any children. He did not own a home. He did not have, he had possessions. And we're going to talk about that. But I want to tell you, this is personal to me tonight, because I can remember so vividly how God dealt with me just reading that little portion that read, you do not ever pitch your tent towards Sodom. And God being my helper, that's one of the things we tried to do. I want to say this to you tonight, and before I take off and preach, you might want to write down some of the points, but the book that I wrote, Walk the Sea with Me, actually has an account of Lot in it. It's built into the story. Nothing's original with me in the book I wrote, 500 or 480 pages, whatever it is. But Harold Hendricks in the book, who you were introduced to very quick and very early in Arkansas, has gotten bitter at life. And he's been told by people and friends that they ought to come out to California. The whole thing is based on Lot's experience in the Bible. That a man he gets aggravated because he doesn't seem like life's going like it should, and he's not being blessed, and things are going wrong, and he's bitter at life, and he hears about California. And so he leaves to go to California, takes his family and goes to California, but his wife remembers Lot when she is heading down the pickup truck, heading down the road, the gravel road. And with the little boy in her lap, she's thinking, she thinks of Lot. Are they headed in the wrong direction? And how is this move and this direction of life going to affect their children? If you know the story, it does not turn out good. It's kind of like Lot. It turns out horrible, but it wasn't to him as much as it was to his descendants. This is real critical stuff tonight, and sometimes you may think I'm too serious. Well, you can't be too serious about heaven and hell. You can't be too serious about your eternal destiny, and you can't be too serious about what's going to happen to your grandchildren and your children as a result of your decisions.
Amen.
You just can't be too serious about that, okay? So the question I want to ask first of all tonight is, how does it happen that a man, that we might pitch our tents toward Sodom? Did you know it's not too late for me in my life, Brother Terry, to pitch my tent toward Sodom? It can still happen if I am not diligent to make sure that I'm not pitching my tent towards Sodom.
True.
And I want to make sure that I never pitch my tent towards Sodom as long as there's breath in my soul, breath in my body. So how does it happen? We look at our Bible and we find out some of the ways, and I'm not saying that all these things have to happen or that all these things are in and of themselves bad, but they are things that affected, I believe, where he pitched his tent. Number one was substance. If you read in your Bible in verse number 6 of chapter 13, the Bible said in verse number 6, the land was not able to bear them that they might dwell together for their substance. Substance. I'm talking tonight that one of the things that may cause you to pitch your tent towards Sodom is your pursuit of substance. the pursuit of substance may cause you to turn and pitch your, I'm just being honest with you tonight, probably more than any other issue in life, people wanting to get possessions and substance and so forth causes them to turn from that sometimes lonely life of Christianity and think it turns them towards Sodom because they know in that direction they're going to be able to get some of the things that they want. The Bible said in 1 Timothy that though they that, watch this, they that will be rich pierce themselves through with many sorrows. It didn't say they got rich. They just wanted to be rich. And they pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Now watch this. Abraham was rich. Richer than Lot. But he did not pitch his tent toward Sodom. God is not against you having substance. God, I actually believe God loves to bless his children. I'm sorry. I like to bless mine. My children blessed me this week. I enjoyed the blessing. Okay, it's not that God is against you having substance. I believe God delights in you. You've seen the dreams of your heart. But it's when those things, when that substance causes you to turn your heart away from God and to seek the world and pitch your tent towards Sodom is when substances can destroy you. The real honest truth about it is in the Bible and in history, very, very few people could handle riches.
Amen.
And I'm not one of them. I can't handle riches. Now, I'm rich compared to the world population. I understand that. I have far more than I need, and God has blessed me. But I do not look at myself as a rich person. I don't have a lot of cash. I'm to be honest with you. You know me. Don't ever knock me in the head for my money. I ain't got any. The old boy said, I'm land poor. You know what I'm saying? But I'm just, you know, yes, we're rich compared to other countries and so forth like that, other people and things like that. But I am telling you right now, if God were to dump $1 million on me, it wouldn't be good for me. Just being honest with you, be hard for me not to turn. Okay? God knows it. I've lived long enough to know. I've made a lot of money, and it has turned my heart, and then God has had to chastise me to get me lined back up again. I've already experienced it. I don't handle wealth, a lot of wealth, real good. I don't handle having excess cash very well. So I keep myself that way. Anyway, I don't know how that went, but just there's danger in riches. And substance was part of the reason that he turned and pitched his tent. He wanted to have substance, all right? Now, the second thing, now watch this. I really battled tonight about two different messages about the same character. The other message is, who are you plugged into? Because God did something here, so I'm probably not going to preach both, but God did something. He showed Lot something. Let me tell you a little secret. I'm going to give you a secret tonight if you listen to me. I want every young person to listen to me very, very carefully. What God allowed to happen to Lot was to show who he was plugged into.
Yeah.
Lot was plugged into Abraham, not God.
Amen.
The reason we are seeing occasionally young people graduate, leave home, go to pot is because they're plugged in to mom and dad or church, but they never got plugged into God. You will not make it if you're not plugged into God, young person.
Amen.
And all God is doing by allowing this direction, this pitching your tent towards Sodom deal is showing you you're not plugged into God. For if you were plugged into God, it wouldn't make any difference for you. Let me show you. Joseph was separated from his parents, from his family. He was sold into Egypt, but he was plugged into God. And it didn't matter where he was at. He lived for God because he was plugged into God. But if you're plugged into daddy, if you're plugged into mama, if you're plugged into church, if you're plugged into religion, you will not make it when you're out there alone. And I'm just telling you now, I'm going to give you something. Because I've lived long enough, experienced enough to see there's a second reason, that's strife. Strife will cause you to pitch your tent toward Sodom. Not just substance. Can I tell you right now, I know for a fact that in this church, unless you're, I'm the kind of guy, I'm going to be honest, I mean, they know you, churches have problems. Every church has problems. If you find one that doesn't have problems, join it so it does have problems. Quick as you go to it, it'll have problems. Amen? All right? That'll fix that perfect church. Now listen to me. I've seen young people see problems in church, problems between people, and it makes them bitter. And can I say to you, I can understand that. all of a sudden people that you thought you loved and fellowship with, they're blown out of your life and your whole life's been blown out of the water. And all the, if you're not careful, you get bitter about it and say, well, this is what Christianity is. I don't want anything to do with it. Can I tell you something? If you know your Bible, buddy, you're going to have a lot of problems in life, and a lot of it's going to be right in church. You're going to get wounded in that. Watch that. You're going to get wounded in the house of your friends. That's what your Bible said. And you can go out with the dope crowd and with the drunk crowd and with all the pornography crowd, and you're just going to have a party and everybody likes each other and no problem. You come to church, you try to live for God, and there's iron striketh iron and sparks fly. And if you're not careful, you'll have strife, and that strife, you know what? You read your Bible. Look at there in verse number 7 of chapter 13. And there was strife between the herdmen. Substance can drive you towards Sodom. Strife can drive you towards Sodom. Young people, please listen to me. Your mom and daddy may bust up. Don't let that drive you to Sodom. Yeah. Are you listening to me? Your dad and mom may get divorced. Don't let that drive you to Sodom. Don't say, I don't want anything to do with God. Look what happened to my mom and daddy. Look what happened to church folk. I don't want anything to do with God. What's causing you to pinch your tent towards Sodom? Number 3, unholy separation. Unholy separation. Because there does come a time when you're going to be separated. God's going to separate you. You know what? Bless God Almighty, I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't want my kids living in the basement. I want them to go get their own house. Amen. Amen. I want them to pay their own light bill. Buy their own groceries. Amen. Buy their own insurance. I mean, just honest with you. Amen. He'd just about go, woof. Amen. Hey, God made you to go out on your own, amen. Get out of the nest and fly, amen. Spread your wings and live your life. Don't be a snowflake living in the basement of your mom and daddy all your life. I'm going to tell you this right now. I'm just going to be honest with you. Some of you girls, now some of you mom and daddy is going to get mad at me right here, and I can't help it. But I'm going to tell you something. If your girl, your daughter's not married at a certain age, you know, wherever you think it is there, I don't think you ought to sit there and make her sit in her bedroom and look at the pliers on the wall. Amen. I think you ought to encourage your daughter to serve the Lord in whatever capacity she can and get learn and be active. Amen. Get out. Get out. Serve people. Do something. You say, well, I'm just waiting on Sweetie Pie to come by. He may never come by. And you'll find out he's not Sweetie Pie anyway after you. Get out there and serve God and serve people and keep yourself busy and learn how to do something and get skills and start a business and I'm gone. Read Proverbs 31. Read Proverbs 31. What the virtuous woman did. She wasn't sitting around, I'm never going to meet Romeo. Where's Romeo? Well, get out of the house, sis. Maybe he's out in the yard. Amen. can I give you something? Guess where Ruth met Boaz?
Working in the field.
Yes, sir. In the garden, in the field, working.
Yeah.
Not walking down the street going. Oh boy, this is not going. Next point. But here's what I'm going to tell you. Now listen to me. You know, I'm like Brother Johnson. I recorded him about 5 or 6 minutes at my house last Sunday, in Illinois. I recorded him giving his testimony. And boy, I'm going to put it on Facebook if y'all to hear it. Because guys like that, you don't meet them every day. But I'm going to tell you, he said something that really struck with me. But anyway, let me just say this to you. The truth about it is in this separation, you get away from your mom and daddy, you get out of home, you get away from church, you're going to find out who you are and you're going to find out who you ain't. Now let me tell you something. When 1973, 1974, you can believe this or not, I was at SMS, called SMSU now, living in Prudenberger Dormitory, and that stricken business started. Now some of you don't have a clue what that is. How many knows what I'm talking about? How many don't know what I'm talking about? Raise your hand. Okay, what stricken business was, the drug head bunch of stuff started, and all the drinking and the free sex, and they started, somebody would just run across the campus with nothing on. I'm not talking about boxer shorts, I'm talking about nothing on. And it got to be just a nationwide deal, and of course, somebody run across the campus naked, you know. Well, that thing got so out of the banks, this is the honest truth. I heard some guys talking about something going on campus that night. I'm not a member of the frats and all that junk and stuff, and I'm just a stupid country boy whose dad has told him to get in his truck and come home at the last of the last class on Friday and be at the milk barn by 5:30. Or I'm not paying your stupid college bill. That's what my dad, amen? So my truck was parked and loaded up. Fact of it was, after a few months of that hellhole, I had my clothes loaded and glad to get out of Springfield. That's just the honest truth. But I'm telling you, I never will forget. And maybe I shouldn't say this, but I'm going to. I was studying. Believe it or not, I was studying. Seriously. And I heard this roar outside, and I started hearing this music. Boom, boom, and just roar the crowd. And I got up, and I looked out, and I couldn't believe what I saw. Thousands and thousands of young people out in the grassy areas of SMS. I said, good, Glenn Litton, what's going on? I walked down. Walked out, and it's like being at Sodom and Gomorrah. There were naked people everywhere. The cops sealed the campus off. Didn't try to do anything. Didn't come in, arrest nobody, tell nobody quit, no nothing. Blair Shannon, which is a male and female, or at least used to be, dormitories, it had a lounge area between it, short building, okay, one story, and then on each side of that, you got your dormitories. On top of that was two sorority and fraternity groups, men and women, absolutely stark naked, locked in arms, blast music playing, dancing. Not a stitch of clothes on. Naked people walking everywhere. Beer cans so thick and whiskey bottles so thick you couldn't walk without stepping on them. And I literally remember walking through and thinking to myself, this is Sodom and Gomorrah in Springfield, Missouri. People are just like they were back then.
Amen.
And I am telling you something. I did not want to admit it in my mind, but I knew that God was checking my direction of life. And God in mercy delivered me from that junk. I'm telling you, He delivered me. I've not been an angel. I've sinned worse. I'm the worst sinner in Wright County. But I'm telling you right now, that was so vivid in my mind. It was like a picture of Sodom and Gomorrah. Vans, hippie vans set up everywhere, speakers on top of them just blaring. You couldn't hear yourself think. I'm talking this, that you say, well, I can't wait to get away from home, and I can't wait to get out of church and get away from church. Well, let me tell you what's waiting out there.
Yeah.
Is the vultures of Sodom.
Yeah.
Number four, sight will cause you to pitch your tent towards Sodom. You start looking. You see, I'm going to give you something. Write this down. There's another, slowly, it happens slowly. It doesn't happen all night. You know what you do? You stay here for 6 months, 2 years, 5 years, setting this church, and slowly your heart turns toward, you're seeing this, you're seeing this, you're seeing this on your phone, you're seeing this here, and you're seeing this, and you see this, and you're thinking, man, those kids are free, man, those kids are having a blast, those people are having a wonderful time, and you just think, and you're just looking at it. Well, the Bible says that, you know how Lot started, how he pitched his tent? The Bible said he lifted his eyes and beheld the well-watered plains of Sodom. First thing he did was look. Okay? Second thing he did was begin to long inside to be there. And then finally, he was living there. Look, then long, and then you're living there. Okay? But it looked so good to him. Let me tell you the fifth thing that will cause you to pitch your tent towards Sodom, and that is a shallow, superficial, surface profession of Christianity without the real deal. It's one of the worst things in the world to happen to you. It's shallow, superficial, surface religion, surface faith. Now, I'm going to tell you this. It may be that you're saved because, let me just tell you something. If God hadn't said that Lot was saved in the book, New Testament, I would never believe the man was saved. I would have believed he's in hell right now. But your New Testament says, calls him a just man and a righteous man. And that God delivered him. Okay? But he had a shallow, superficial, surface faith that couldn't keep him out of the wrong places. And I want to get to what happened to it. The sixth thing is the secrets of your heart. Will cause you to pitch your tent towards Sodom. If down in your heart of hearts, and I don't care what you look like on the external, if down in your heart there is secret longings to live in sin and to live a sinful life, you'll be there eventually. You are pitching your tent towards Sodom even right then. Okay. Now, having said all that, how it happens, I want us just to go down through chapter 19. If you'll take your Bible now to chapter 19. And I want you to envision a scene with me, okay? And so Abraham and Lot's herdsmen have had strife. And Abraham has come to Lot and he has said, Lot, we be brethren, let there be no strife between us. You take the right, I'll take the left. You take the left, I'll take the right. We be brethren, I don't want any strife. And then Lot looks up his eyes and says, okay, Uncle Abraham, by the way, can I tell you something? Watch this. Was Lot raised in a godly home or not? Yes. So being raised in a godly home, he was a father of faith. Did he make mistakes? That's right. But God looked in for examples. Did he mess up? Sure. But I'm telling you what, Abraham was a man of faith. Don't ever doubt that. You can be raised in a home and a house of faith and still wind up pitching your tent towards Sodom. All right. But I want you to see this scene that maybe, and just imagine this, that somebody, so Lot's going, all right, Abraham, I'm going to take Sodom. I'm going to take the Jordan River Valley that dumps in down into the Dead Sea. And I'm going to take all that bottom land and I'm going to take all those markets and those, well, I'm going to sell out my cattle and my crops to those people. And Abraham, yeah, I'm going to take my pick. Now, that's a whole nother message about meekness and what will happen to you if you're not meek. But he goes down it. And so here's Lot, all packed up, got his herds together. They're all starting to just, he turns around in the saddle and waves at Abraham. And all of a sudden, somebody steps out of the side of the woods and says, Lot! Lot! And Lot says, yeah, what do you want? Lot, wait a minute. Let me show you where your life's going to be 30 years from now. Would you just stop long enough to let me show you where your life will be 30 years from now? Now, this didn't happen in the Bible, but I want to show you how it could have happened and the results of not listening to God's warning about pitching your tent towards Sodom. I see this man say, Lot, you have pitched your tent towards Sodom. And I'm going to show you what's going to happen. Now, you imagine that if somebody had stepped out of the woods and cried, Lot, wait a minute. Let me show you where you're headed and what's going to happen in your life if you pitch your tent towards Sodom. And let's imagine that Lot turns around and says, all right, tell me where I'll be in 30 years. And the guy starts out and he said, first of all, Lot, let me just tell you something. You're going to be unbelievably successful as a businessman in Sodom. Lot puts his thumbs up. Sounds good to me. You're going to be a big businessman in Sodom. Lot, you're probably going to control with the setup you've got and the wisdom you've got about all the cattle and markets. You're probably going to be selling all the meat that's sold and bought in Sodom. You're going to be the man who talks to the people who own it. You may even own the grocery stores because of your crops and cattle and everything that you have. He says, not only that, Lot, but because of your wealth and your success in business, you're going to become very politically prestigious. You're going to wind up sitting in the gate of Sodom, which means you're in a political position in the community. You're going to have political power. Lot goes, whoo, double thumbs up. Sounds good to me. Lot, let me tell you something else going to be in your life in 30 years. You're going to be married. You're going to meet a lady. You're all going to get married. He's man, that sounds good. And Lot, let me tell you something further. You're going to have some beautiful, beautiful daughters. And they're going to be the absolute joy of your life. Boy, man. They're going to be such fun to you. They're going to sit on your lap and they're going to go out and do things with you. And you're going to have so much fun. And he said, Lot, guess what else? They're going to grow up and they're going to get married and you're going to have son-in-laws. And the Bible doesn't tell you this, but it does tell you that his children were married. Some of his children were married. And that tells me very likely he probably had grandchildren. I don't know that. Scripture doesn't say it does or doesn't. All right. Then this man says, Lord, I want to tell you another thing about you. You're still going to be saved. Whew. Glad to hear that. But then it changes. Now he said, Lord, I want you to listen carefully. What's coming down the road because you're pitching your tent towards Sodom. And I want everybody in this building tonight to think about this. I want you to ask yourself this question right now. Is, in truth and reality, my life headed toward Sodom, toward the world? Lot, gradually and ever so gradually, week by week and month by month and year by year, you're going to get worn down about your faith and what you believe is right and what you believe is wrong. And you're going to get worn down about what you allow in your home and what you don't allow in your home. And you're going to get worn down about your stand for what's right, for what's wrong, what should be done and what shouldn't be done. And you're going to get to where it really doesn't matter and you don't take a stand. You're going to get to where you melt out. And when your kids start doing stuff, you're going to just kind of, you don't want to have family troubles and you want everybody to be happy. And so you're not going to say anything. He said, Lot, you're going to get to where you tolerate some of the most filthy, vile wickedness that the world has ever known. You're going to get to where you tolerate child molesters, pedophiles, sodomites, transgenders. You're going to think all that's okay. That's what they want to do. You don't. But if they want to, that's their business. And Lot, one day in your life coming, there's going to be two men walk into town. They're angels. And Lot, they're going to come to your house and knock on your door and they're going to talk to you. And they're going to tell you that God is going to destroy this city and for you to get out. Lot, let me tell you something's going to happen that night. The sodomites are going to surround your house. And they're going to beat on the door of your house, demanding to immorally abuse those visitors that's at your house. And Lot, I hate to tell you this, but this is what's coming in your life. You are going to be so debased in your mind and so vexed down that you are going to tell those men that if they'll just leave you, those perverts and those sodomites, that if they'll just leave those two men alone that's in your house, you'll give them your two daughters that haven't known men. I see Lot going, I'd never do that. Yeah, Lot, you're going to offer your two daughters to a mob of the worst perverts you can imagine. Lot, it's going to get even worse now. They're going to threaten you. They're going to tell you that you're not to judge them. And they're going to tell you that they'll do worse to you than they would have to those two men. Lot, this is all going to happen because you are now pitching your tent towards Sodom. Lot, except those visitors stepped in between you and that mob and blinded them, they would have had you out on the ground with your clothes off in the most unimaginable wickedness you can imagine. A mob. You're going to see those angels smite those perverts with blindness so that they can't even see where they're going. And then these two men are going to tell you something for you to do. They're going to tell you that God is going to destroy this city the next day, the next morning, and that you are going to lose everything you have. You are going to lose your home, your house. You're going to lose your furniture, your bank accounts, your possessions, everything, your chariot, your horses, whatever he might have had. You are going to lose it all by the time the sun comes up in the morning. Lot, that's going to happen because years ago you pitched your tent towards Sodom. Lot, there's a cry coming up out of the city. And the Bible talks to you about it. And if you want to know the secret to why God destroyed Sodom, it's in Genesis 18:20 and in Genesis 19:13, where it talks about the cry of Sodom went up to God. And let me tell you what the cry was. Children. It was the cry of children who were living like sheep among perverted sodomite wolves in that city, and nobody would stop them. Because even those in authority were sodomites, and even those who were supposed to be their leaders were sodomites. And the children would be approached from babies on up. Let me tell you what's going on in America tonight. I don't know about you, but across my Facebook feed comes a constant in the last 2 weeks advertisement from a legal firm that if you have a child or you were in Boy Scouts, that you're now entitled to compensation because the Boy Scouts of America are bankrupt, folks. Years ago, they were infiltrated back in the 80s by sodomites. And boys were being abused by scouts leaders all over America. It became a cesspool for sodomites, just like the Catholic Church. And all over this country, the Catholic Church has paid out millions and multiplied millions of dollars in compensation to boys who were sodomized by Catholic priests. Now, this is rough preaching, but this is what happens when you pitch your tent towards Sodom. We're not living in 1940. I'm sad to say. And now stuff has to be said straight and nope. And he said, Lot, because you pitched your tent towards Sodom, those angels are going to tell you to go talk to your family members. And Lot, here's what's going to happen to you that night. After they have blinded those perverts and they're out in the street, can't find their way around, you're going to sneak out the back door of your house and you're going to run down the alleys of that city, Sodom, to your son-in-law's and daughter-in-law and your daughter's houses. And you're going to bang on their houses. Wake up! Get up! Hey! Wake up! Wake up! Wake up! And Lot, you're going to tell your son-in-law and your daughters, get out of this. God's going to destroy this city tonight. He's going to destroy this city tonight. Get the kids. Get out of here. Come on. Go with me. Get out of here. And you know what, Lot, they're going to do? Because you were so vexed and so hypocritical in your life, your children are going to say, yeah, Dad, you have finally lost your stinking mind. I always thought you were a little off.
Yeah, that's right.
They're going to mock you. They're going to tell you you're a religious hypocrite. You're a fanatic. And you finally went over the edge. And they're going to close the door and say, Daddy, why don't you just go home and go to bed and take 3 sleeping pills? They're going to mock you. You won't even be able to. Your children will no longer respect anything you ever say. Lot, the next morning, you're going to linger. God has told you to get out because he's coming with fire and brimstone, but you're going to linger. You do not want to leave. You're so attached. Your children are here. Your children are here. Your possessions are everything in your life. Your whole life's here in Sodom. And you're going to linger. And Lot, God is going to be so merciful to you that those two men are going to take you and your wife and your two daughters that's not married, and they're going to take you by the arm, read your Bible, they're going to take you by the hand, and they're going to pull you out of this city in merciful kindness to God. And they're going to tell you something, Lot. Escape for your life. Look not behind thee. And Lot, your wife's going to get out of town a ways, and she is going to think, my daughters, my girls are back there. My grandchildren's back there. Oh, God, all my furniture, my dishes. And she's going to turn around, and God's going to turn her into a pillar of salt, and you're going to lose your wife. She's going to be dead. And Lot is shaking his head like, no, this can't be happening. He's going to say, Lot's not done. You're going to want to go to another city. But you're going to hear this fire and brimstone. You're going to see your wife turn. And you know what you're going to become? Watch this. You're going to become a caveman. You're going to get so scared of being in a town because of what happened behind you that you're going to go up into the mountains with your total life wrecked, and you're going to live in a cave. And I can see Lot wrinkling up his face and like, you've lost your mind. My wife dead, my grandchildren dead, my daughters and their son-in-law dead. I lose everything, got town burned up. He said, no, Lot, we're not done. And here's why, because you pitched your tent towards Sodom 30 years ago. Lot, you're going to be up in that cave. And you got two daughters. And they're going to make you drunk. and you are going to have relations with your own daughters. Let me just tell you where you're headed to, Lot, because you pitched your tent towards Sodom. You are going to father a human being who is not only your son, but your grandson. Because you're pitching your tent towards Sodom. And Lot, it's not done yet. The children, those two sons and grandsons from your daughters, they're going to become God-hating nations that are going to persecute the people of God until the Lord comes in power and glory.
Amen.
All because you pitched your tent towards Sodom. Lot, on that morning when Sodom and Gomorrah is going to be destroyed, your uncle Abraham that you left is going to get up and go have his devotions like you read your Bible. He got up every morning early and he went to a place where he met the Lord. That's Abraham. And Abraham's going to go out to that place where he met the Lord, and all of a sudden he's going to see smoke. And he's going to look down there and he's going to see this, watch this, like the smoke of a furnace. And Lot, your name will go ever eternally down in shame and reproach because one day you made the decision to pitch your tent towards Sodom. I want to say to you tonight, I want to say to myself, I'm not up here trying to preach condemningly. I'm not trying to be rough, mean. But the decisions you're making today as fathers and mothers,
amen,
and the direction that you're headed to as a young person is going to have an outcome. And I beg you in Jesus' name tonight, make up your mind that by God's sweet grace, as I did in 1984, I believe the year was 1984, I went before the Lord's throne of grace and I said, God, help me to not pitch my tent towards Sodom. I want you to think about it. What's going on in your home that would constitute pitching your tent towards Sodom? What movies are watched? What television is watched? What things are invading your home that would constitute? It amazes me. You go to Springfield Hospital. I've been there many, many times, sitting in the waiting room, visiting someone that's sick. The TV's on. And this Ellen DeGeneres is constantly on in those hospital waiting rooms. She is a vile, filthy, nasty, perverted sodomite. Everything you watch on TV now is telling your kids, it's just fine, it's just fine, it's just fine. There's nothing wrong with it. Your preacher, he's a fanatic. You tell God tonight that Abraham was a fanatic. You talk to Lot tonight. Ask him what the cost was of pitching his tent towards Sodom. What's going on in your home? Secondly, the way you can pitch your tent is not only about what's going on in your home, but by the church you attend. And I'm honest with you tonight.
Amen.
I have seen family after family. They do not want to be in a church where sin is preached on. They want to be in a church where the preacher will never preach against anything that's going on in their life. You are pitching your tent towards Sodom to go to. And I, listen, a lot of good churches in this area, a lot of good churches across the country. But I'm telling you, people will search for a church that fits their lifestyle. That's just the honest truth. And you get into a church that, I'm telling you right now, I could name a major denomination. This stuff is unreal what's going on. Right now in some of their national conventions, they have booths. The queers in that denomination have booths. And I'm not going to be mean tonight and tell you right here locally, churches, denominations, whom I know for a fact are going to their national conference. And at that national conference, where there's people from their churches, all in from America and the world, and there'll be a booth there on the LBQ to whatever deal there, and they say, we're these people, but we are Sodomites, and we're asking that you accept us and that you have the love of God toward us and all this garbage. I could tell you another denomination that there's one of their churches nearly in every town in Missouri and in the United States. And the man who is the president of that denomination has gotten up and made, and he gotten up and sing songs with other men at his church on these mega swing churches and made statements and body motions. I believe he's a Sodomite. He's in charge of the largest denomination in the United States right now. And he mocks and hates preachers like me. So your church can be a place where you pitched your tent towards Sodom. Where will your children be at 30 years from now if they're in a church that doesn't stand for the Bible? Thirdly, you can pitch your tent towards Sodom through education. Do you know what your children are being taught? Do you honestly, have you read their books? Have you read their history books? Have you read their science books? Do you know what's being said in those classes to those kids? Do you know? Somebody says, how is it that all these young people are socialists and they believe all this junk? Where do you think they're getting it at? Dodo? You say, well, I'm sure not teaching them that stuff. And our church isn't teaching them that stuff. I'm going to ask you right now, and I'm done. I believe in commitments. I believe there are points in your life that makes a difference. And tonight, I'm going to ask this. If the Lord speaks to you at all, as a father and a wife, or a father and a mother, a husband and wife, as a family, that you, in just a few moments, I'm going to open this thing up, and I don't care, we'll make room for you. But if I were you tonight, and I'm going to get my wife, because at 66 years of age and 38 years of preaching, I don't want to turn my tent towards Sodom. This is not the time. And I want us to rededicate, honey, at this critical point in our lives, that it's for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I'm going to ask you young people, you ought to come and say, God, please, give me the grace of God not to pitch my tent towards Sodom. Because I'm going to tell you this. If somebody could step out of the woods and say, hey, can I tell you where you're going to be 30 years from now? I don't believe you'd pitch your tent towards Sodom. I believe you'd pitch your tent towards Zion. I believe you'd pitch your tent toward the throne of God's grace. I love you tonight. Whenever God takes me out, I want to be able to look back and say, God, I did what I could. Let's bow our heads. Blessed Holy Spirit, without your presence and power, we're just sounding brass and tinkling cymbals. We're just noise in people's ears and confusion in people's minds. But Holy Spirit, if you would come and you would work in the heart, my prayer is, God, tonight, that I and Karen would never pitch our tent towards Sodom. And the areas of life, Lord, where we have, show us and give us a repentant spirit and give us grace to turn from it. God, bless these families. Bless these individuals. Let us, Lord, experience a refreshing and reviving and renewal of the Holy Ghost in this church. And Lord, I pray that not just 30 years from now, but in eternity, we'll be able to see the value of having not pitched our tent towards Sodom. God, save us from our own foolishness and our own ignorance. Save us from our own filthy flesh. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed tonight. I'm going to ask you right now, would you want to come? Would you want to make a declaration on this third day of May 19, 2020, that as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're not pitching our tent towards Sodom. You may be the best family in this church. I don't know. Individuals, young people, if I was you, I'd get out of that seat so fast, make the devil's head swim. I wouldn't hang around 2 seconds. I wouldn't sit there and argue with the Holy Ghost. I'd climb out of that seat and over them if I had to, and I'd say, God, I am not pitching my tent towards Sodom. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. I'm going to look down the road 30 years from today, and I don't want my children to have looked at me and said, Daddy, your faith was a joke. Would you come? You say, Reggie, you're not playing any music. No, that's right. We're not playing any music. I don't think God's going to play music when we're judged either. I don't think the devil's going to play music whenever he's trapped us into his sin and wickedness. Would you come tonight? Would you say, I'm not pitching my tent towards Sodom? There may be some things right now the Holy Ghost is talking to you about. And he said, you're going to have to give this up. Give it up. It ain't worth it. All the houses and all the wealth and all the junk that Sodom could give Lot was not worth it. And again, I'm not here tonight trying to beat you over the head or make you feel bad or condemn you. Nothing of that nature. Preventive medicine. The old timers used to say an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. You're living in a generation that wants to lead you straight into Sodom, friend. Sodom will steal everything that you love, everything that's precious to your soul. They will steal it. And let me tell you, if you read your Bible in chapter 14, you're going to find out who the king of Sodom was. He was Satan. Sodom had a king. And I'm asking you tonight, I'm honest with you, I still believe God's dealing. Oh, God, help me not to pitch my tent towards Sodom. Would you come? Would you get out of your seat and come? If nobody comes with you, would you come? Now, let me tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go pray with my wife that God will give us grace not to pitch our tent towards Sodom. And if you want to come, you come. You do what the Lord tells you to do tonight. But I tell you, this is a burden, a message on my heart. And I mean it with all my heart.